always be clear where you get your conservative talk.
The St. Louis Business Journal is now reporting that liberal billionaire George Soros is the largest shareholder of Odyssey,
the parent company of KMOX and 97.1 Talk.
Soros' maneuver raises critical questions about the future of media ownership and influence.
Money and attention is power. And when he has the money and he controls what's on the radio stations, he's going to be able to control the minds, essentially hundreds of millions of Americans.
St. Louis's trusted source and number one.
For conservative talk.
This is News Talk STL.
Hello and welcome to Friday afternoon. Doesn't matter if it's a Friday getting ready to go into a weekend right before, I guess, the unofficial beginning to summer. Next weekend is Memorial Day weekend. Is that insane?
I woke up this morning and my alarm went off and it showed the date, the 17th. And I said, what the hell? Yep. What the hell?
What the hell, world?
Why is it May 17th?
I don't know. Because it is.
That's not good enough. Where is the time?
I don't know. I got no answer for you.
What happened today?
I'm as shocked as you are. Here's what's supposed to happen, though, when we're at this time of the year. Friday afternoons, kids are almost out of school. Summer is almost here. It's like, it's supposed to be, Fridays are supposed to, like, let's lighten it up. Let's not be crazy. That is not how the world works anymore.
Mm-mm.
We've got a million things going on and a whole lot to talk about. We're going to get you the weekend forecast in about 40 minutes from now, about 2:45. Chief Meteorologist Steve Templeton from Channel 4 will join us. And we're going to, as we do every Friday, talk to Gabe Pfeiffer from The Morning Show and Ken Williams from The Vic Porcelli Show. They're going to join us next. But to start off this crazy day, we've been, every day this week, we've talked to Bob Onder, we've talked to Rodney Boyd, we've talked to Representative Justin Sparks, keeping a very close eye on what's happening in Jeff City on what is now the last day of the Missouri legislative session. And it didn't start well. We're going to get the latest update right now from our very own Missouri State Senator Nick Schroer, who I'm introducing right now with his brand new, this is his now official Katie theme song. From this point on, Nick Schroer. Let's go. If that doesn't get you excited, I don't know what will.
I love it.
Missouri State Senator Nick Schroer joins us now. Hello, Senator. How are you?
I'm glorious.
You are glorious, buddy. You are glorious. How do you like your new song?
I love it. You know, and I think it's very fitting considering that we've got a lack of leadership. Don't even call them leadership in the Missouri Senate that's trying to say that the Freedom Caucus is dead. And, you know, we're not going to stop. We're not going to stop until we actually start putting the people back in charge. The majority of conservative Republicans that want to see tax cuts, that want to see the issues in St. Louis City, you know, dealing with crime, taken care of, until we make Missouri safe again, make Missouri prosperous again, we're not going to stop. And, you know, despite what gets put out on press releases, we're still alive and kicking, baby.
So let me set the table. And you can correct me if I'm wrong, but this is where, as far as I know, this is where how we entered the day. So yesterday afternoon, we talked to your friend and colleague in the House, fellow Freedom Caucus member, Justin Sparks, and he was giving us the update that Senate leadership was attempting to send the IP bill back to the House. But the House was, and he said, I asked him twice yesterday to be, you know, just to be very sure. He said 100% for sure the House was going to reject that bill being sent back to them, which would force the Senate to have to address it today. This morning, I heard an interview with Caleb Rowden where before session started, he was saying that we have a full day today. And this is what he said and what he did are not in line.
He was full of it.
Yeah, we have a full day today. We've got a lot to get to, and you know, I expect a lot to get done, a lot of work to be done. And instead of that, he gaveled in, and then gaveled out, and didn't do any work today. So that's, as far as I know, that's where we're at. Can you confirm that and then also just fill us in on exactly what that all means?
Yeah, so I'll give you the honest truth is that is it. You know, he goes on social media, goes on radio shows and podcasts talking about, oh, you know, this initiative, petition reform, which basically would make it tougher, make it more stringent to amend our Constitution. Not as stringent as amending the U.S. Constitution, but this would just ensure that the majority of the state, not just Kansas City and St. Louis, would be able to change our Constitution. And of course, once we would pass that, that would go to the voters. The voters would be the ones that have the ultimate say. It wouldn't be something that we just pass and it's enacted into law. So we, you know, I predicted it because I was in the House for 6 years. I said, guys, you know, sending this back to the House whenever they did that, and I'll get into that in just a second because there's a lot of drama in regard to how that happened. But they sent it back to the House, and I said, look, you know, repeating the same thing over and over again and expecting a different result, the House has already sent the same bill, two different versions of it, but the same exact language over to us. I can tell you, my boys over there, they're not going to like that. They're going to say, no, you pass what we just sent. And that's exactly what happened. And today, utilizing his power but breaking the rules, he said, no, we're not going to take in the messages from the House, effectively killing the initiative petition process. Wow. Then he wants to put that back on the Freedom Caucus, saying that somehow this is our doing when we were working with House leadership all along to actually get this thing done. We have two versions of it, the House version, the Senate version. And instead of going back in to pick up the House bill or to take in the message from the Senate or from the House saying, yeah, they're not going to do that, let's go back to the debate. They adjourned and effectively killed one of the most important bills that the grassroots, that Republicans, that even the Republican Party for 6+ years has said this is a top priority. Caleb Rowden, Cindy O'Loughlin, instead of doing the people's work, they actually gave a win to the abortionists and the anti-lifers out there that are known as the Missouri Democrat Party.
And they sent it back to the House under the auspice of claiming that it needed to be, that it just needed some changes to be made. But I think, and I think it's obvious, that that wasn't true. They didn't want any changes to be made. They were just killing the bill and running the clock out. What is their argument? What is their defense of not passing the bill as it was? It was sitting there ready to go. It was one vote away from finally resolving this issue that we've been talking about for years. What is their excuse?
So their excuse is that we didn't have the votes, which is total BS. I don't want to get fined by the FCC, so that's all I'm going to say.
Neither will I.
But they're trying to say that we didn't have the votes. And I will tell you some inside baseball here. And maybe it's not kosher for me to say this, but, you know, the truth needs to be heard. And this is what we're going to be talking about on Stand and Fight this Sunday. Mm-hmm. Ben Brown, Senator Ben Brown, who's as conservative as the day is long. He's not a member of the Freedom Caucus, but works with us on many important issues. And I think they just passed his SJR for an abolition of ranked choice voting, which is going to be going to the ballot. And it also includes the prohibition on illegals voting, which the IP bill had as well. So it's malarkey to even say we didn't have the votes because of that provision in there saying only citizens can vote. So Ben Brown was going around and he had a list of at least 16 Republicans that were going that actually put their name on a piece of paper to PQ, to move the previous question, which would shut down the Democrat filibuster and actually take it to a vote. So in storms, Mary Elizabeth Coleman, the former registered Democrat when she was in Texas, she storms into his office and says, no, this is my bill. I'll offer the previous question motion because Ben was going to offer that. She rips the sheet of signatures out of his hand, storms to the floor, and instead of doing what she said she was going to do, she threw that in the trash can and sent it to conference. And effectively going to conference killed the bill, which we all saw, but they said that was the only way to keep it alive. We were two votes short on that piece of paper of having the 18 that would be needed to actually move the previous question. You only need 10 to actually move the previous question and take it up to a vote. And there were two people that were on the fence. We firmly believe, everybody in the know firmly believes that if that was the case, that if we actually moved that, if whether it was Ben Brown before Mary Elizabeth ripped the form out of his hand, if she would have made that motion, that bill would be on the governor's desk yesterday.
I don't know if you saw it, Nick. There are pictures. I know there was one in the article in the Missouri Independent, and there may be others of that moment where Mary Elizabeth Coleman is on the floor sending the bill back to conference, and you're in the picture sitting at your desk.
Yeah, do you know who sits behind me?
And your face is, it hurt, like, the faces say it all.
A picture says a thousand words.
It does.
The person who sits behind me is the minority leader, J.J. Rizzo. Uh-huh. And J.J. Rizzo, he's a Democrat, and he hand-delivered, while Mary Elizabeth was on the floor, we all thought she was going to move the previous question, he hand-delivers her the motion that she has to make to send it to conference. She literally was working with the Democrats on the Senate floor, which I know Aaron Dorr from the Missouri Firearms Coalition got it all on recording.
Yeah.
It's all, you know, it's all picture. This is not a lie, but there's no cameras that are allowed to be, like, in the House. You can live stream with the cameras that are there. In the Senate, you don't. And luckily, we had some grassroots experts that were there that caught all of this, because to me, it's too good to believe. This is something that you would see on, you know, House of Cards or something, when, you know, you've got, you know, former Democrats that now say the Republicans ripping out a form that was going to move the previous question from another senator's hands who's been hard at work with the Republicans trying to move this issue and pass it. And all of a sudden they come out and they're working with the Democrats to effectively kill the bill. All the while, Caleb Rowden was smiling on the dais as all of this went down. And again, it's no excuse, because we had another version of it. We had the House version that we could have picked up and passed. We could have taken back the bill from the House when they sent it back and said, no, you guys got to pass what we sent you two different times. But instead of doing that, they tucked tail and ran. Mm. They're back at home now, and they're blaming the Freedom Caucus somehow. Even though the Freedom Caucus was the ones that defunded Planned Parenthood this year, that passed today Valentine's Law and another package of criminal reforms. I know Justin Sparks and I have been working on that all year, and education reform. All of these things that you hear about the rhinos, oh yeah, we did all this great work. It's because of the Freedom Caucus. These are Freedom Caucus bills, and even Caleb Rowden today was talking about the Second Amendment Preservation Act, which was Eric Burleson, Andrew Koenig, Bob Onder. He's talking about the heartbeat bill, which was mine, and Andrew Koenig, and Bob Onder. All of these things that they celebrate are because we have Freedom Caucus members that have a spine and the intestinal fortitude to look down the lobbyists, look down the special interest groups, and say, no, this is what my people want. We're going to get it done. But this leadership team, this weak leadership team that has to change, it has to change if we're going to move the state in the right direction. They're the ones saying, no, screw the Freedom Caucus. You guys are the problems, not us and the Democrats.
So, Nick, Senator Cindy O'Loughlin, I talked to you about this a little bit. Tony and I read it. Sent out a press release today. She begins her press release saying this: today ends the reign of the Conservative Caucus, which became the Freedom Caucus, which I call the Chaos Caucus. I'm not really sure what she means by that first sentence, but she goes on to explain in this press release that the keys, the ingredients to having a successful Senate is listening to each other and building those relationships and having those friendships. And we talked to Dr. Tobler this week and last week, and he said that when he interviewed Cindy and Caleb Rowden, those were two primary things that he spoke with them about that they enhanced, that they emphasized, is that you have to have good relationships in the Senate. In your experience with the constituents that happened to be in District 2, do they care about good relationships, or do they care about results?
That's a great question. They want a fighter, and it's been proven by the different polls that have been done by these different consulting groups right now. I mean, they're literally asking in all of these polls that they're doing in all of the Senate districts across Missouri, what do you want? You know, a Republican senator or Republican representative, what do you want out of them? Do you want them to, A, fight for conservative principles, B, compromise with the Democrats, or something else? By and large, every single district that is a Republican district that they've asked this in, it's like 60%+ of those that have been polled, they want a fighter. They want somebody that's going to stand by the conservative principles of the Republican Party, and they do not want that always comes in last place, the compromise. There might be something else like, on certain issues, you know, we want to see you actually work with, you know, the district, blah, blah, blah. But they want a fighter right now, and especially in Senate District 2 in St. Charles County, which happens to be, we have three of the cities in the top 10 of where people are moving to right now. And it's, you know, because we have these fighters, we have people that are limiting government, like myself, like former Senator Bob Onder, who's running for Congress in this area, and many others, Bill Eigel, who's right next to me in St. Charles County. They want fighters that are going to say, no, we're done with this political establishment. Since term limits, the people that run the Capitol are the lobbyists, the special interest groups, and the bureaucrats. We've had enough with that. We're seeing right now parts of St. Charles County that are becoming like St. Louis and St. Louis County, and we don't want that. And that's why you look at individuals like Joe Brazel, Bob Onder, myself, Bill Eigel. We stand on conservative principles, and that's why we continue to get reelected time and time again, because the people know we work for them. We don't work for the party. We don't work for lobbyists.
A couple minutes left here with Missouri State Senator Nick Schroer. Nick, something that we get every time we have one of these conversations, and I love our audience and I agree with them wholeheartedly, is that people will say, who are they? What are the which politicians are the ones doing this? And I don't want you to name. I'm not asking you to name names.
Oh, I don't give a damn. I'm gonna name names.
Okay, well that's fine. Right. I was at least hoping today that there would be a vote. Because yeah. So there would be a record, you know, if it did not get through the Senate, if truly there wasn't enough votes. So then people would be able to look at that record and see exactly who these Republicans are that aren't living up to their promises, quite frankly, yeah. to the voters. How do people, other than listening to, you know, you and get the direct, you know, information that way, how do voters fact check these people, and how do they look back at these records, and you know, where do they get that information so they know who's telling them the truth and who's not, so they can differentiate between those fighters that are truly fighting for the conservative message and policies that the voters sent them to do, and the ones who are beholden to other people.
Yeah, so ultimately the best way to find out what's actually in a bill, or you know, look at what's happening in committees, go to house.mo.gov or senate.mo.gov. However, the cool thing now, and I've loved this about Donald Trump, how he was able to utilize social media. I hate social media, but I love it because now you're able to actually get the story out there, and the grassroots teams that are out there, Freedom Principle, they've got a great spreadsheet on who is unwilling to actually sign the PQ. Freedom Principle, Missouri Firearms Coalition, Aaron Dorr, these are people that are on the ground. There's a bunch of other Republican groups. But tap into social media. Start looking at some of these groups that we trust. Byron Keelan of the Freedom Principle, he is on the ground every single day in and out of Senate offices trying to get the truth. And, you know, look, I'm going to say it like it is. And tune into Stand and Fight every single Sunday, because I'm pulling back that curtain. And I am not worried about friendships anymore. I'm worried about protecting our Constitution, protecting this republic, and looking out for my kids' future.
Yeah, quite frankly, those politicians didn't do their job. Yeah. The fact that you guys aren't in session right now is inexcusable.
100%.
It's not over. It's still the 17th.
Yeah, it's still Friday.
There should be if there's any dangling participles to be wrapped up before the session is over, it should be happening right now. The fact that it wasn't the Missouri Senate that was blown off today. It was the voters. It was the people of Missouri that were just brushed aside today when Caleb Rowden gaveled in and gaveled out. It was a, you don't matter.
Tony, do you want to get pissed off even more?
Yeah, let's go.
In less than a minute, yesterday, the Freedom Caucus orchestrated a deal working with the House, because the House was going to say, no, you're going to have IP again. We're going to send back the bill. You guys pass it. So while we needed them to take that up, we were going to pass several bills, one of which was a deal that was cut to actually trim, not totally get rid of it, but trim by at least half of your personal property taxes. Uh-huh. That was teed up, a massive veterans bill that would have helped a ton of veterans with PTSD and other issues. Another crime package that we were talking about that would actually get us going in the right direction. It wouldn't go to state control, but it would get us going in the right direction. And the leadership team in the Senate said, no, we're not going to do that. We're going to go in tomorrow. If anything, if all hell breaks loose, we're going to gavel in, gavel out. This is something that, I mean, you can go talk to Dean Plocker and John Patterson and the leadership team in the House. They were working diligently with the Freedom Caucus. We had several bills slated. All we had to do is bring them up, take the vote. We already debated them. They go to a committee called Fiscal Review. So once they come back and they're on the calendar, all we have to do is take an up and down vote. And this leadership team, instead of actually doing the people's work like they've done all year, gaveling in, gaveling out, being done by 3 p.m. so they can go to dinners and hobnob with lobbyists, they did it again today. They screwed the people of Missouri.
They did. I wholeheartedly believe that. Senator Nick Schroer, thank you for the information. Thank you for the update. And as Nick mentioned, every Sunday night, 6 p.m. here on News Talk STL, Stand and Fight with Nick Schroer. I'm sure you've got a lot to unload and explain to folks this weekend. So we'll all be listening. And thank you so much for being here this afternoon with us.
Yeah, thank you all. Get ready for Sunday, baby.
We'll all be listening. And we'll send you out with your new song one last time. Have a great weekend. If that doesn't get you pumped up, I don't know.
So good.
That was Missouri State Senator Nick Schroer. We're going to get some reaction to what we just learned from Nick and get into some other headlines, including it's not just politicians in Missouri that are pissing people off today. 61 Democrats voted against a resolution that condemned violence on police.
Oh, my gosh.
61 Democrats couldn't just say violence against police is not acceptable.
Oh, my gosh.
We'll tell you that story, and we'll be joined by Gabe Pfeiffer from Mike Ferguson in the Morning and Kid Williams from the Vic Porcelli Show next on Columbo and Katie.
You're listening to Columbo and Katie. For podcasts, articles, and more, find us on newstalkstl.com.
Welcome back to Columbo and Katie on 101.9/94.1 News Talk STL. Friday afternoon means we are joined now by Gabe Pfeiffer from the Mike Ferguson in the Morning Show every weekday morning here on News Talk STL. Gabriel, are you there?
You know what time it is.
Yes, sir. Happy Friday. And also Ken Williams from the Vic Porcelli Show in studio with us. I don't know if you guys heard that conversation that we just had with Nick Schroer, but we're all up to speed on, we all know that this has been a disaster of a Missouri legislative session from start to finish. We started with taking away chairs and parking spots, and we end with a fart in the wind, essentially. It's absolutely a nothing. And by nothing, I mean no progress. We started the year with the number one priority being IP reform, and now we've ended the session, and we don't have anything done on IP reform. I want to get into this national story, Gabe, but I wanted to give you and Ken both a chance to just give your thoughts after that conversation with Nick Schroer as we look back at what I think has been a massively frustrating Missouri legislative session. What do you think?
I think, you know, there's a quote by Milton Friedman that talks about, you know, how we should be approaching politics. And he talks about how we seem to be very worried about putting the right guy into office, when what we actually should be concerned with would be making it politically untenable for even the wrong guy to do something we don't like.
Yeah.
So I think maybe that's where voters need to start focusing their efforts now, is to properly punish the politicians who do not obey the will of the people, the will of the people who got them there, and just let them know that this isn't going to fly anymore. We're not going to take this stuff. The R behind your name is not enough.
Ken, you were just saying something similar at break there, that if Republicans in this state continue to behave the way they continue, they may push people to vote Democrat, or maybe just say, what's the point, and not vote at all. And either one of those situations is bad news.
Yeah, I can't say exactly what I said off the air, but it's the FAFO.
I wish you could.
Hey, Gabe, it's the FAFO principle. They keep messing around, and they're going to find out that that the Democrat Party is going to take over. I guarantee you guys, the Democrats, when they have the majority someday, which they will, They are going to take so full advantage of this, it's going to alter Missouri forever.
Mm-hmm.
So, you know, whatever you've been doing.
It's already going to alter Missouri forever. It's not hyperbolic. The fact that they did not get IP reform done has opened the door for the very real possibility of a legalized abortion to and maybe even past the point of birth.
Yeah.
Is going to be in the Missouri...
Murder, you mean murder, right?
Yeah. Yes. Is going to be in the Missouri Constitution because they couldn't get their act together and do what they said they were going to do from day one.
Yep.
One of the reddest states in the union, the first to be a pro-life state after the fall of Roe, it has the potential to become just as pro-abortion as Illinois and California.
Yeah,
that's what we're talking about.
And it's so easy because of the dumb rules that we have existing, the ones that need to be reformed, the whole point of IP reform.
Yeah.
It's so easy to put something in the Constitution, but it is way harder to get it out. So once it's there, it's there. And
pretty much.
Yeah. I mean, it is very difficult to get something to remove something from the Constitution. And if you don't think there's something wrong with the way we do things here in the state of Missouri, just look at the fact that we have 113 amendments in the Constitution. That's all you got to say. That's a problem.
Yeah, you have this precious Constitution, and it's like everybody can walk up and just write graffiti all over it, you know, but you can't get rid of it.
Yeah, that's it. That's it. The graffiti gets to stay. Yeah, the graffiti gets to stay, and you can't wash it off.
That's right.
No, you're exactly right.
Well, and the graffiti has the force of law.
Yep.
Katie, did you have any thoughts throughout this? I know you had a chance to talk to Nick there a little bit, but just as we look back at this legislative session.
I just think that... I just said this off the air too. It is so frustrating, but I think my main emphasis is that throughout this time, I'll take it on a national level, relationships seem to be the most important thing that's happening right now in a national level, at a state level, at a local level. Everybody just highlights how important it is to build relationships, have good decorum, make sure everybody compromises, let's get along. Those are all understandable qualities,
mm-hmm.
but when we have given you a designated amount of time, I would dare say more than enough amount of time to get anything
Years.
Done, something done that is conservative, and then we tee this up and we almost have a victory too short away, as Nick just highlighted. We are that close. And I'm again, we haven't had a chance to talk to Mary Elizabeth. We reached out. She has not reached back. That's fine. It's okay.
We've tried to talk to them.
We have tried to talk to her. But to understand that someone is killing their own bill, why would that happen? And to understand...
And teaming up with Democrats to do so.
To have relationships be the highlight and the most important thing, that time is over.
Yeah.
We don't want relationships anymore.
Yeah, they're not truly... They're not living up to the words of communicating and working together. They say that, but then they don't... That's not how they live.
What's the value? What's the value of those relationships if you can't actually get anything accomplished?
You
can't move the political football further to the right. All we've ever seen out of government is our laws and our society and everything just being pushed further and further left. I don't see this sort of betrayal happening on the left.
Nope.
Have you ever seen it?
No.
Can I even mention that even with on the left or the right, follow the money. That's the only thing I can say at this point, because I
so
Katie,
true.
You mentioned it. Why would some of these people do what they're doing?
Why?
Well, when you have that kind of a question in politics, you always have to go, all right, what's the common denominator here?
Yeah.
Follow the money.
Yeah. Let's see where these people end up working as soon as they're done with their term in office. You know, what lobby group or special interest they join or have a cush job with coming out of this.
Yeah.
And I think that explains a lot. I want to shift to national politics, but stay just as angry. 61 Democrats have voted against a House resolution that condemned violence on police. The House passed a resolution today condemning violence against law enforcement and calls to defund the police, with 61 Democrats voting against the measure. All Republicans voted for it. It passed 337-61. So every Republican and 134 Democrats voted for this resolution. 61 Democrats voted against it. This is one of those resolutions that is, it was done because this is police week. It's one of those things that's just a message. It's not, it's symbolic. It's symbolic, exactly, Gabe. It's not a law. It's not new law. It's not making new policy. It's just to send the message on police week to police officers and law enforcement across the country that no matter what side of the aisle we're on, we all support and we all thank and support our police officers. It's just that. It's a symbolic gesture. And 61 Democrats couldn't go along with that gesture, including, of course, famous names, AOC, Ilhan Omar, Tlaib, Jayapal, Bowman, and, of course, the pride of St. Louis, Cori Bush. I mean, Ken, the fact that Cori Bush can't even just say, yes, we appreciate police, we appreciate law enforcement in this country, says so much about her. And I hope that people are listening in this election year.
I think that every family member of a police officer, every police officer, any mother, Katie, you can attest to this, mother or housewife who's concerned about crime and safety, they should be taking note of this and know which party is behind the police and which party is not. Mm-hmm. Period. I mean, it is a black and white issue.
Mm-hmm. Gabe, your thoughts?
Yeah, 61 Democrats basically said, okay, we want to take your money and why don't you die while you're at it? That's what they said.
Yep.
Yeah. 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 Because again, I mean, this is like the resolution. This is like I always make the comparison of do we all agree that puppies are cute?
Yeah.
Yes, we all agree that puppies are cute. Pretty easy one for all of us to agree with. This is just to say we condemn violence on police officers.
Same
right?
Thing. Yep.
We all agree, right?
Yep, you're right.
And 61 Democrats, including Cori Bush, said, no, we can't agree to that.
Right? Wrong. Actually, I think, you know, that they're like, no, yeah, wrong. No. Actually, I disagree.
Puppies aren't cute.
They're not cute.
Right.
But what I don't understand is that this is not, they're looking at this thinking that police brutality is worse than violent crime in the streets. That is why they disagree with this.
Right.
Their mindset is
that the police are a bigger danger.
Yes.
Yeah.
Police brutality,
which is even more scary.
So bad. It's so egregious.
Yes.
And so infiltrated into our society, into our system, that it's that bad that they would rather have violence and crime and unprotected citizens over police doing their job.
I hope that even the Democrat voters in St. Louis and across the country that live in these areas where that are represented by people like AOC and Rashida Tlaib and Ilhan Omar are listening to this, because this is so far beyond even what Democrats believe. Mm-hmm. I think that it is unacceptable, and I hope they all pay the price at the ballot box this year. Katie, before we run out of time with Gabe and Ken, can you roll out the Kansas City kicker story
so
we can all get our thoughts out?
I'll keep this brief. I'm sure everybody has already seen this. Harrison Butker, who is the kicker for the Kansas City Chiefs, received both praise and backlash after criticizing Biden and abortion while encouraging women to embrace their roles as homemakers, speaking to students at Benedictine College. He says this, "For the ladies present today, congratulations on an amazing accomplishment. You should be proud of all that you have achieved to this point in your young lives. I want to speak directly to you briefly because I think it's you, the women, who have had the most diabolical lies told to you. How many of you are sitting here now about to cross the stage and are thinking about all the promotions and titles you are going to get in your career? Some of you may go on to lead successful careers in this world, but I would venture to guess that the majority of you are most excited about your marriage and the children you will bring into this world. I can tell you that my beautiful wife, Isabel, would be the first to say her life truly started when she began living her vocation as a wife and a mother. I'm on the stage today and able to be the man that I am today because of a wife who leans on her vocation. I'm beyond blessed with the many talents of God that he has given me, but it cannot be overstated that all of my success is made possible because a girl I met in band class back in middle school would convert to the faith, become a wife, and embrace the most embrace the most important title of all, homemaker.
Mm. Ken,
people going buck wild about
it. Yeah, it's just so easy to attack Christians. It's the path of least resistance, like water, so they can do it. I mean, the NFL is disgusting as far as I'm concerned, because I'll tell you, I haven't watched those games. I've watched KC maybe once this year because I'm sick of it.
I quit watching sports a few years ago, famously. I've talked about it many times.
Because for this exact reason. They're so woke, Tony.
There's just so much politics and messaging, and I just couldn't take it.
And they said,
I'd rather be fishing.
Their message was, well, they didn't say we don't necessarily believe in what he said. They said we do not believe in what he said.
Yeah.
Well, what he was talking about was motherhood. He was talking about being a wife and motherhood. Mm. What's wrong, Gabe? What's wrong with what he said?
Yeah.
Absolutely nothing. Actually, in fact, what he was describing, the lie that feminism has sold to these young ladies, the idea of the single boss babe. I don't know if you've seen these stories going around in various cultural outlets where, you know, basically being a single childless 42-year-old, you know, with your wine and your cats is actually an ideal situation. They're actually promoting that kind of stuff. And he is promoting science. I don't know if you guys know this, but science is telling us that women feel most fulfilled through being a wife and a mother. It's not even close.
You know, I don't need science to tell me that. I don't need anybody to tell me that. I just need the women in my life and, you know, to live their best life.
Yeah.
To do what they want to do, whether that's be a businesswoman and run a company or be a homemaker and stay home and raise their family. There was a couple of lines in there, like calling it a vocation for some reason just irks me. Like, I don't like the word vocation.
I think it's more faith-based.
And then right. I don't know. It just doesn't. It's not a vocation. Anyway.
Well, it could be though.
Yeah, you're right. I understand
it.
But and then the one I think he said, unless I got this wrong, something about like the time in the '60s, going back to a time where women had more children than thoughts.
That's not good.
That was one of the things that I read. I don't know if that there's been inaccurate quotes, so maybe that hopefully is.
Yeah, I'd have to see that in the manuscript. Yeah,
one of them.
I haven't seen that part.
Yeah, hopefully that's not true. Other than that, I agree with you guys completely. And my thing is, why are we? What is it? Why does it have to be one or the other? Why is it on the left that we have to be? If you're a woman that decides to stay home and be a housewife, be a homemaker, that's somehow destructive to women. Like the extremists on the other side, and I'm not saying anybody in this room or in this conversation is part of that, but there are extremists on the other side that think, you know, a woman's place is only in the kitchen. How about it's wherever they want to be? Why does it have to be? Why do we have to even have this conversation about where women belong? How about they just belong wherever they want to belong?
Dan Bongino talked about this today. He said, you know, they're busy building on the left this ideology, this apparatus of ideology that, you know, everything goes except for the nuclear family. You can be anything you want. And anybody who tries to say anything against that idea, they're putting a crack in it. And that little crack can turn into a big wave all of a sudden out of nowhere. And that's what the problem they're having is they don't want any cracks in this idea.
Katie, I want your thoughts more than anybody's.
This is interesting. Oh, go ahead, Gabe. Go ahead.
No, you're good.
I have many, many girlfriends who are people that have no desire to get married, have no desire to have children. Mm-hmm. So this incredibly offended them. This entire speech was like, this dude is the most misogynistic, terrible human I've ever heard. I cannot believe his thought process. This is what we need to abolish when we're living in 2024. I also have a lot of women in my life who reached out to me personally and were like, hey, I'm seeing this on social media that I'm supposed to hate this speech, but in actuality, it's the most hard-hitting thing that has pertained in my life. It literally in the entire year. Like, I have always wanted to be a mom. I've always wanted to be a homemaker. It is my goal in life to be those things. And yeah. When I heard a man speaking about this, it was such a beautiful thing of great message in society today. I like to say,
absolutely,
not to be me, but throughout my journey in radio for the last 9 years, mm-hmm. I think people, you listeners, go, have seen my evolution of who I have become. When I started here when I was 23, I was partying my A off. I was getting lit. I was having the time of my life. I was freshly out of college. I've always had my boyfriend, at the time, David, now my husband. But family was not my, having a family, not my priority. Getting right. married, David and I, that was not even a discussion yet. We were having a good time. Then David and I got married. David, obviously, number one priority. Nothing in this world, and I was still having a good time, but nothing in this world ever could have shook me to my core and made me completely prioritize and analyze who I was as a human being until I had Maeve.
Mm-hmm.
And my life before I had Maeve, I thought I had all of these priorities, one of them being here with you all.
Yeah.
One of them
yeah.
being this goal right here was to be in this spot.
Mm-hmm.
And then I had my daughter
mm-hmm.
who changed everything about me mm-hmm. to my core. And I love you guys and I love this radio station, but this doesn't mean anything to me nope. compared to being a mother.
Right. Exactly.
Isn't yep, that, it that, do you feel like that's what he was saying? Or do you feel like he was, like, because it's been so divisive, like, oh, he's attacking
women who have
jobs. And I just don't see it that way.
I think he was saying he could have replaced women I'm specifically talking to men I'm specifically talking to you and said, as a man, yeah. being a father is my primary yeah. role.
Which oh, it is.
Being, having yes. my family is my primary role. To me, his message was, family is everything.
Yeah.
Family is yeah. number one. Family is priority.
Yep. Amen.
Well, and the thing I was about to say was you know, that was the message actually I grew up with, was that my, you know, the most important thing about, you know, my adult life being, you know, was going to be being a husband and father. Like those were the things that were going to give me fulfillment. And all the work, all the stuff that I put in for this, you know, great career and being able to provide and all that stuff was in service to that greater calling.
Yeah.
So, you know, so as a dude, I was like, well, isn't that true for everybody? You
exactly.
know, that was my question
right.
in my head when I heard this.
Exactly. Right. All right, we went super long there, but I think it's very important stuff. Gabe Pfeiffer from Mike Ferguson in the Morning, which you can hear every day at 5:30 here on News Talk STL. And you can follow Gabe on YouTube on the St. John the Philosopher YouTube channel. And, of course, Ken Williams every day, 9 a.m. with Vic Porcelli. Thank you, guys.
Thanks,
guys.
Always
for being here. All right, we got to get to that all-important weekend forecast. Channel 4 Chief Meteorologist Steve Templeton joins us next on Columbo and Katie.
For podcast articles and more, find us on newstalkstl.com.
All right, yeah. Some problems there with Steve's connection. But if you didn't hear it, what he said was, the weekend is after, it's going to be, there's a chance for rain tonight,
mm-hmm.
but the weekend itself is looking dry and pretty warm.
That is, man.
Mid to upper 80s tomorrow and on Saturday and 90 on Sunday.
Can you believe that this is, like, I keep thinking that we're going to wake up and it's going to be like 40s or 50s. We're way into May. We're ready for summer St. Louis weather, which could go from 80 to 100 real quick.
90 on Sunday. That's going to feel like summer.
Oh, my God. I can't wait. I'm so pumped.
And it happened last night at our house.
Mm-hmm.
The cicadas emerged. You still don't have any, right? Or do you now?
I do not have any. I texted you the other day. I don't have any. But going into my parents' neighborhood, it's deafening.
So yesterday morning when I left for work, the dog would not come in when I called her. And she's usually, like, you know, heartbeat.
Mm-hmm.
Because she was sniffing all around the tree in the backyard. And I was like, oh, she hears them down there. But there was nothing. When I left yesterday morning, there was nothing. When I got home from work yesterday, they were all, the little skins
were the skins
all over the ground, the tree, but it's only on one tree. I don't know if it's certain, I don't know if like it's certain types of trees, because the tree, our big tree in the front yard has nothing, but our tree in the backyard is covered.
I mean, we might need to post that video.
Either way, yeah, sure, we can.
We should post that video.
Quick little clip of all the of all the cicada shells. Oof. Well, it's definitely, they are definitely here. All right, we are going to have a little Friday fun time to send you off into the weekend. But before we get to that, we've got more to talk about, including this madness involving P. Diddy. We'll talk about that and more next here on Columbo and Katie.